Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, November 12th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is looking forward to this challenge ahead for the Flyers this weekend with a tough back-to-back against Carolina and Dallas. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. You can follow Locked On Flyers on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. Keep up to date on all our episodes, some Flyers news, occasional snark, all that good stuff. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. And on today's show, we are going to get caught up on the latest Flyers news, maybe some line changes. And then we are going to preview that back-to-back tonight and tomorrow night against Carolina and Dallas. And it's Friday, so we'll have our gritty thing of the week. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. Hit that subscribe button and you will automatically get all of our episodes every day on your favorite podcast app. Okay, so going into these weekend games, I think, you know, the first thing off the bat from yesterday's practice is the Kevin Hayes and Ryan Ellis saga continues on, where Alain Vigneault seems to be teasing their return on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, they've been practicing more, getting included in rushes on the ice even more as the days have gone by. And it looks like, we can never say for sure, obviously, but it does look like that Ryan Ellis is likely to check in the lineup on Saturday versus Dallas. Kevin Hayes is a maybe as well, but I think less likely. So he apparently was going around telling everybody he really wanted to play, almost like he was willing to bribe people to get in the lineup and he felt ready, but we don't have any confirmation on that yet. I know they're both going on the trip, so we'll see how that turns out for Kevin. I just want him to be healthy and 100% or as close to 100% as possible before he checks back in the lineup and, you know, can contribute to the best of his ability. I would like Ryan Ellis back in the lineup as soon as possible, obviously under the same circumstances, but I think the Flyers defense could absolutely use his style of play, especially against these two teams coming up this weekend. Carolina is going to be a tough opponent, and it would do the Flyers some real good to have him in. Don't think that's going to happen, but at least up against Dallas, they have some real good scoring threats as well. And so to have that kind of calming presence with matter of fact zone clearing and all of that, having Ryan Ellis would be a good thing against Dallas on Saturday. So we'll see how that saga turns out over the next couple of days. We did also find out that Carter Hart was going to be in net for the Flyers tonight. So I'm assuming that means Martin Jones for Saturday. Looking at the lines from practice yesterday, AV made one significant change. And Russ and I talked about this on yesterday's show, that he suggested that maybe they don't make these changes in a reactionary way, especially when your next opponent is Carolina, who's a really tough opponent, and you don't want to make changes that will disrupt any flow that these lines already have, and that you would want to give them more time to practice together if you're going to change things up. AV decided that after, you know, the Flyers have struggled offensively the last few games to make that one change, and that is to rotate Joel Farabee down from the second line to the third line with Scott Laughton and JVR, and then move Oscar Lindblom up to the second line with Brassard and Atkinson. And I don't hate the move. I think it's one change, so it doesn't disrupt everything that's going on. And it does keep, you know, two of the three guys together on each of those two lines. Lindblom, AV has been saying, and we've been seeing, that he's been on the cusp this whole time, you know, just really working hard and feels like he's snake bitten. So maybe if he's on a line with Brassard and Atkinson, who have seen some success, although not as much recently, that maybe this would help all of them collectively. And then that third line again becomes Scott Laughton centering Farabee and JVR. Farabee is very high energy, hasn't potted one in a little bit, but again, I think might be a good complementary player to both Laughton and JVR. They saw some time together that worked out pretty well prior to everything getting shut down for them for COVID. So I think it's worth revisiting that line of Farabee, Laughton, and JVR together and seeing what they can do this time around. Again, maybe that helps JVR. Hopefully we'll see Oscar Lindblom see the benefits of being in a group with Brassard and Atkinson, who can put together some quality sequences. So I don't hate the move, and I am very much looking forward to seeing what they can do out there. The fourth line is still in flux. They've been rotating Kevin Hayes in there just to get ice time and reps. And so we've seen Zach McEwen, we've seen NAK, and we've seen Brown in there with Nate Thompson. And, you know, it's anybody's guess how that comes out in the wash. As far as the defensive pairings, you know, we're still in that mode with Provi, Braun, Sanheim, Risto, and Yandel Sealer. We'll see what happens when Ellis comes back in. Obviously, you know, Braun then drops to the third pair with Yandel, and Sealer becomes the extra, but we won't know for sure again until Saturday if that is happening or not. On the power play, Russ and I talked about this on yesterday's show, that we wanted things to go back to where they were at the beginning of the season. Looks like they were doing that on power play one. So they had Yandel with Giroux, Kootz, Travis Konecny, and Cam Atkinson, with Giroux on the left, Konecny on the right, and Kootz in the slot. Occasionally Atkinson will rotate in at net front, which is good. And then we have the second unit with also a one defenseman for forward setup with Provi, Lindblom, Brassard, and Farabee and JVR there. So I don't hate that. And I think that it's worth a shot. And I think that, you know, we talked about everything they need to do on the show yesterday to be successful again in terms of giving themselves open lanes. And maybe this switch up will do that for them. You know, my expectations are moderate and fair, but, you know, I don't know if you can change things overnight. It may take some time here. The other question mark going into this weekend is who gets waived when Kevin Hayes comes back. I think for me, it's McEwen, but again, it could be Patrick Brown. To me, I think Patrick Brown is the guy that you would want to hold on to, because you're going to assume they're going to get reclaimed by their former teams on waivers. So I think, you know, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things with these two guys. But if I had to choose, I would want to keep Patrick Brown. Well, Thanksgiving is around the corner, and with that comes all the good food and treats. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but you've had so much during the dinner and you want something that isn't so full of calories and sugar. Well, that's where Built Bars come in. You can feast on something delicious, feel good about it. And then for dessert, you can have a Built Bar. One slice of pie has almost 300 calories, and that's on the low end, whereas most Built Bars are only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. You can replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to choose from. They're low calorie, low carb, low fat, and high protein. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, so you'll still get your fix. And Built Bars are a great option just when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough or you need something while you're on the go, carry along a Built Bar with you. You can share some at your family gatherings, and there will be new surprises all month with limited time flavors arriving at built.com regularly. So check the site early and often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendar. They're going to have a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, so we've got a tough weekend ahead. Like I've been saying, we first meet up tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Definitely the tougher of the two in the back-to-back. Carolina is 10-1 so far. They've only lost to Florida, who is the other top team in the East right now. They have a ridiculous plus 20 goal differential. In that loss to Florida, they did allow 4 first period goals, 3 of which came on the power play, which I think is a really good opportunity for the Flyers here, because the Flyers have had some really strong first periods. So if they can come out swinging like that and establish an early presence, establish an early lead, I think that's the way that you get by Carolina. And just follow the blueprint that Florida had against them. Now, that's involving scoring a lot of goals, right? Which we've been talking about that the Flyers have had trouble with. Now, maybe some of the changes that AV has put in place in terms of the lines and the power play setup will help them. But I think one of the main things they're going to have to do is create better lanes for themselves and have shorter passes that are less likely to be cut off by Carolina, who can do that pretty well. They're going to have to maintain possession, quick puck movement, get open lanes, and take as many shots as possible. Freddie Anderson is off to a great start in net for that team. He's 9-1 with a .939 goals against average. So they're going to have to keep him in motion in order to get shots by him. And the way to do that is quick puck movement, really good cycling, just some real good fundamentals, honestly. So hopefully that's something they can put in place. Now, if you look at how Carolina responded to that loss to Florida, they did absolutely turn it around. And Tampa, who's not too shabby themselves, Tampa only got 3 shots on goal in the first period of that following game that the Canes went on to win 2-1. They came back from a 1-goal deficit in that game as well. So it's a tough order for the Flyers in tonight's game, but it's not impossible for them, I think. And so we'll see how they do. Now, with Dallas, that's a completely different story. It is the second half of the back-to-back, but it is a completely winnable game, and if they don't, I think it's going to be a problem. Dallas is under 500. As of recording, they are 4-5-2 so far. They started off okay, but went on a bit of a losing stretch against a variety of different kinds of teams. So they lost to good teams, they lost to bad teams, but they also won against good teams as well, kind of earlier. And so I think they're a bit of a mixed bag. Of course, our old friend Michael Roffel is there, but with more insider info on the Dallas Stars, here is a quick catch up on what the Stars have been up to from Dane over at Locked On Stars.
What's going on, Flyers fans? Dane here with the Locked On Stars podcast, here to give you a little bit of insight about this Dallas Stars team going into Saturday's matchup. Some of the strengths of this Dallas Stars team revolve around their special teams. The power play has been very, very consistent for the Stars over the past five games or so, where they've found the back of the net on the power play at least once, if not more times, over the past several games. It's been really, really nice and encouraging to see some of the best offense from this Stars team has come from when they've been on the man advantage. So be on the lookout for that. The Flyers will want to avoid penalties at all costs because, like I said, Dallas normally is playing their best offense when they're up 5-4. And on the other side of that, the penalty kill, though it's been a little inconsistent over the past three or four games, has overall been a bright spot for the Stars team so far this season, especially when we have guys on the ice like Miro Heiskanen, John Klingberg, Luke Glendening, former Philadelphia Flyer, Michael Raffle, guys like that, the penalty kill unit normally looks really, really solid. So be on the lookout for that as well. It should be really interesting to see how the Stars match up with this Flyers team, especially as far as, you know, special teams go, because that's where Dallas has found a lot of their strength so far through 12 games this season. The weaknesses of this Dallas Stars team have to do with pretty much everything else. The 5-on-5 offense has yet to find any sort of consistency, and it's been super frustrating to watch for several stretches of the season so far. Dallas just plays really sloppy with the puck more often than not, and that sloppiness either results in goals for the other team or just missed opportunities, you know, trying to do too much with passing or trying to, you know, force a pass that maybe isn't quite there, failing to get the puck out of the offensive zone, just too many mistakes that lead to other goals for the opposition. And once a team builds a 2 or 3 goal lead over the Stars, it puts the Stars in a really, really bad, unfavorable position because the Stars offense just isn't made to score 4 or 5 goals per game, you know, on a nightly basis. And so the Dallas Stars, you know, in order to win games, they have to play those very grinded out, close, intense games, because their offense just isn't made to explode night in and night out. So the defense also has to come to play and, you know, help keep the game in control. A player to be on the lookout for Saturday night's game is number 24, Roope Hintz. I feel like that's a guy that I tell several other teams host about, just because last season he was one of the best players on the Dallas Stars roster, despite the craziness that was the 2020-2021 season for the Stars. Roope was a bright spot, one of the best players on the team easily, even though he was battling injuries, was very, very good at scoring the puck, assisting. He could do just a little bit of everything, and so he was a ton of fun to watch. But so far, he has not quite lived up to that potential. He only has one goal through the first 12 games of the season, and that one goal came in their most recent game, a loss on Wednesday to the Nashville Predators. But it was exciting to see him score a goal nonetheless, because now I think that he has some more confidence built up and he will use that confidence from that goal to propel himself and hopefully the team forward. And hopefully, you know, he'll find the back of the net over the next several games and build his confidence even more, because when he's playing at his best, the Dallas Stars are in a better position to win hockey games. And that's something that the Stars desperately need to do, is win a hockey game, especially in regulation, because the Stars team has yet to win a game in regulation so far this season. All 4 wins have come in overtime. So I'm excited to see how this game unfolds. I know the Flyers are off to a pretty good start this season, all things considered. Should be really fun to see how these teams match up when the Flyers come to town and match up with the Dallas Stars.
Thank you so much, Dane. That was some really good information. I am very much looking forward to seeing the Dallas Stars, who we have not seen for a very long time. So always good to mix it up with some new teams. And I think if I were a betting person, I would bet on the Flyers against Dallas, maybe not Carolina, but the best place to make your bets is betonline.ag. And they are back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season. They've got more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football and hockey action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, to the NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcasting platforms. It's Friday, so we know what that means right now. It is time for the gritty thing of the week. And Gritty was definitely busy. Lots of things going on between the Gritty 5K and a home game. There was so much fun stuff. And God, I just love Gritty so much. They keep finding new and creative things to do and yet keep the themes going that they have all this time that after, you know, being around for 3 years, I think that they've found a good balance of things that are Gritty regular things that are part of Gritty's personality and are regular bits, while at the same time, they incorporate new things and surprise you at every turn. So once again, kudos to the team behind Gritty and what they are doing with the character. It is a ton of fun. All right, so let's get to our gritty things. The first thing is there will be cake. And this is all of the video highlights from the Gritty 5K, all of the amazing costumes. People are so creative. I cannot believe how many great outfits people put together. Some things were more like authentic, gritty looking things. Some were interpretations of gritty. A lot of just bright orange outfits. Some people just had hats or wigs. And I just think it's so fun to see all these people's different outfits who got awards for the best costumes and, you know, people dressed up more Flyers style versus gritty style. And of course, there was the obligatory cake segments. I don't know how many cakes they've gone through. I would love it if somebody with the Flyers knew how many cakes Gritty has thrown at people over this time. There's got to be some sort of record for this somewhere. But I think that it seems like people's life dream is to get a cake thrown at them by Gritty, which is bizarre, but also amazing at the same time. But it did seem like everybody had a great time at the event. I did my 5K remotely in Astoria, New York, where I live. So I got to see some fun New York City skyline views while I was on my walk. So it was a little lonely by myself, but at the same time, I felt like I was part of the group by looking at all the posts on social media, which were great. A lot of people from all over the place were participating. So it's good to always feel like you're part of the Flyers family, even if you are not in the area. So there is that video that they posted to TikTok and Instagram. So there'll be links to both of those in the show notes. And then they had some still photos as well. So there was a really good Twitter post with some of the highlights for the Gritty 5K. Then at the home game against the Leafs, they had, first off, they had a really good version of the military appreciation jersey on Gritty. I think it almost looked better on him than it did the players, but I thought the shade of green was a little weird on the players' version, and it looked more like desert camo-y on Gritty, but could have been just what it looked like on screen. I'm not sure. At any rate, there was an amazing sign that Gritty held up during that game saying, "Please stop using pictures of me in your Tinder profile." And I have to admit, I had not thought of using a picture of Gritty in a dating profile, but it kind of checks out. Like if I was swiping through an app and saw a picture of Gritty, I would at least give it a second look, right? Because you have to know that they're either in the know about the Flyers or they just think Gritty is cool. And so that has to give the person at least a point or two if you're keeping track. And it would at least get me to read their profile a little bit more closely if they used a picture of Gritty. So, you know, I think you might be onto something if you're doing that. And So I would not agree with what Gritty is saying here in terms of stopping using those pictures in people's profiles. And then lastly, these dangles are rated E for everyone. One thing that Gritty is good at, we talk about it again and again, is how athletic Gritty is. Of course, Gritty is out there on the ice, taking shots on net, except this time it was part of the Mites on Ice activities. And just Gritty going one-on-one with a tiny goaltender, it's almost unfair. And he just dekes this poor kid, but it must have been the highlight of this kid's life, too. So, you know, you have to take it as a win, right? You're out on the ice at the Wells Fargo Center and you just got beat by Gritty. I'll take that as a win, even though one got past you. But the kid is really cute, seems to take it all in stride, which is a good thing. So lots of good Gritty content this week. Looking forward toward more as we approach the holidays. Got our first Santa sack read on the broadcast the other day. So, you know, it's about that time. And so we will be getting a lot more good content from the Flyers and Gritty heading into the holidays. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again on Monday. Russ and I will recap this weekend's games against the Canes and the Stars. We'll have our nemesis of the week. And Monday night is that big alumni game. So we'll be talking about that as well. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend. You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.